Welcome to Shas Illuminated. Please enjoy the following shiur.
Good afternoon to everybody here. I first want to thank you all. I came here, and some of the guys are going to come to play some music. And since last Simchas Torah, a year ago, when our nation went through and was pulled into the situation we're now with hostages, with soldiers in dangerous situations, Eretz Yisrael threatened, I had a sense that I wanted to join our people more. I love my family a lot. I don't like leaving them. I love the yeshiva I'm involved in. I don't like leaving there. And for many, many years, I didn't leave. Since Simchas Torah, I do go around. And I go around because I want to join our people. We have a remarkable people, a remarkable nation. I've gone with Shlomo and Yehuda, who are just tuning their guitars. We've sung and fabrained and connected to thousands of Yidden, maybe tens of thousands in the last year and a half. And it's something that I just feel our nation to come together, to be closer. So I thank you. It's my first time in Memphis. It's been a really beautiful day. Rev John and I are friends for 25 years, Baruch Hashem. And I love the guy. He's an idealistic person who's raised and raising a beautiful family in Memphis, Tennessee. And I thank Rev John for inviting me, for arranging that I can come. And it's been a beautiful thing to see the schools, to be with the kollel, the rebbeim of the community. It's really been inspiring. I thank you for having me here. I really would love to meet everybody here. We'll just talk. I'd love to introduce myself, meet you. I want to talk about something that's very on my mind. What's your name? Yeah, your name.
Margalit.
Nice to meet you. Daniel Kesh. I want to tell you, Margalit, something on my mind. My father passed away a little under 6 months ago. My parents are very, very important people to me, and I want to tell you a little about my dad. That's what I want to do now. It's very appropriate before Shavuos. My father was a serious Talmud Chacham. He finished Shas every single year. He finished Shas well over 40 times. But I'm not talking about just knowing the Gemara. I'm talking about Rishonim, Achronim, knew it cold. He knew Rambam backwards and forwards. But I'm talking about with our Sameachs. He knew a lot of Torah. He taught a lot of Torah. My father grew up in a mixed school. He went to what was, now it's called Hafter, at the time it's Highlight. And my father and mother grew up as American kids in American homes. My grandmother went to public school. And my parents decided they want to attach to Torah. And my father learned and taught all his life. My father's schedule at 78 was wild. I'm talking about sometimes a person's older, you have to like remind people what they were when they were young. My father was, what he did in a day, in a month, I don't do. I would describe his day learning 7 blad a day, a shiur in Daf Yomi. He was the head of a kollel that he gave shiur every day in. He was the Rosh Hashiva of a Sephardi yeshiva that he said shiur every day in. He was raising millions of dollars to tzedakah, millions, the last couple of years. He was writing a sefer on Shas. Yet, my father was a cool person. My father, and it sounds like I'm exaggerating, Rav John knew my father a little bit. My father was an excellent tennis player. Loved skiing, water skiing, and regular skiing. And he liked this world. And what I want to share with everybody here, and this is what I want to say, my father was a unique neshama. There are a lot of tzaddikim who are pirish, who separate from this world. My father loved Hashem's world. He liked whitewater rafting. My father had a motto, if it ain't dangerous, it ain't fun. He brought my wife and I and my kids whitewater rafting. He loved whitewater rafting. He owned a raft and tubes, and he would do whitewater rafting crazy. He brought my wife and I when my kids were little. We were 10 people in this huge raft, and the water was so crazy it flipped us all over. You know how crazy that has to be to pick up 10 people? My wife swore we're never going, and we never went again. That's my father's motto, not my wife's motto. But my father said, if it ain't dangerous, it ain't fun. He liked fun things. And what I want to say, the Messias Sharim says, my father liked the Sefer Messias Sharim a lot. He learned it and taught it. And he says, at first glance, the world's a world of challenges. Everything's a challenge, dangerous, lurking everywhere. He says if a wealthy, a person can become arrogant. Poor, a person could just deny Hashem. Everything is dangerous. That's the first glance. But he says when you look deeper at the world's a beautiful place. The world's a beautiful place. My father loved this world. He loved this world. It was like a wonderful place then. And I don't know if I met a yid who enjoyed a nice piece of meat, good barbecue. Now, he didn't run after. He liked tennis. His tennis partner said to my father, I want to show you professional tennis. If you would see Alcaraz, Djokic, if you would see... And my father would have loved it. He said, no, I don't need that. He was very thought out. He used the world right, but he was in his lane. He felt he didn't need that. He was very, like, use the world right. And he liked the world a lot. He a good tennis game. He played tennis till then. A good game of tennis was... He played Fridays. He had his times. And then he would learn and learn. He knew who he was and what life's about. And then he, like, loved the world. And the world was a beautiful place. When I was young, I knew it was raining. Because my father woke us up. If it was raining, he said, it's a beautiful day. Daniel, it's a beautiful day. I'm like, shoot, that means it's raining. But till today, I like rain because my father said it's a beautiful day when it was raining. He literally liked the world, and he taught us that the world, Hashem's world is stunning, and it's a special place. I want to tell you an interesting thing. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the Baal Musar, has a line that Yenev's Gashmius is your Ruchnius, a very powerful line. We know there's Ruchniot and Gashmiot. There's spirituality and physicality. Somebody else is Gashmias. Somebody's physicality is your Ruchnias. You have to care about somebody's Gashmias. Beautiful line, very important line. Yenim's Gashmias, somebody else's physical things is your Ruchnias. Somebody else's lunch is your Ruchnias. Somebody else's good afternoon is your Ruchnias. That's an important line, an important fact to live by. I want to say something about my father. His Gashmias became people's Ruchnias. Because my father skied, hundreds of Yidden are closer to Hashem. Because my father whitewater rafted, you know how many people, hundreds, he took families, all different people in difficult circumstances. He took probably thousands of people whitewater rafting. But he didn't do it because he wanted to help them. He did it, he liked Hashem's world. And of course you share with Yidden. You know how many Yidden are frumer from my father's ski? He'd skied till the end. He skied once a year. He wasn't looking. He wasn't running yet. He used the world right. When I see, come in, is that Shlomo? I'll come in to sing in a minute. I want to say that he used the world right. He used the world. He knew who we were. When I see youngsters in yeshiva on Instagram and all this stuff looking at the world, I always feel so badly. You're looking at people who don't understand this world. Says, come, you need this product, you need that. I'm not worried it's going to remove them from Ruchnias, from what's important. I'm worried it's going to remove them from this world. My father liked this world. I never met somebody who liked this world like him. You know why? Because he used the world right. And it says, Messias Sharm said, we use the world right. Hu misala, you get elevated. Va'ayla misala ima, and the world gets elevated with you. A person uses the world right. It's interesting. My father was the Rav, and this is from Hashem. My parents were not into money. They were not like, they used things right. My father was the Rav of one of the wealthier communities in America. And that was made from Hashem. They loved him, and he loved them. And he taught the world's not a bad place. It's a wonderful place. Maloi chalaretz kvaydei. You just use it right. Know who we are. We're souls. Big soul, big neshamas. And then we're in a world, a beautiful world to use right, to do it right. He had such a healthy relationship to Hashem's world. When my father passed away, the minute I and my siblings were called that he left, this is 100% true. The minute I was called, Maitse Shabbos, before Abdullah, I looked at my phone, I was in yeshiva. And I got a call, I checked my phone, I put my phone in a place I could access it. Said, come, your father's leaving the world. His numbers dropped. The minute I was called, the lights in his shul went out, the lights in my parents went out, and every house from the shul till my parents' house, all the lights went out, I promise you. All the lights. Lawrence, Harborview, all the lights went out. Now, my friend Aaron Felder is the deputy mayor of Lawrence. He called the company, the electric company. It's a very wealthy neighborhood. The electric is underground. And it's underground, so it doesn't go out. He's like, hello, the lights are out. They look, they said it's inexplicable. We can't explain it. Now, to me and my siblings, it was yawn. Of course, of course. My father liked this world and saw Hashem in the world itself shut down when he left. He wasn't detached from the world at all. For a person who learned the schedule he kept daily, he was a very, you would meet him, he was like a normal, he wasn't even intense, it's weird. He was intense. He was driven, not late to minyanim, like serious, tired, tefillah. He was a yid who knew what we're about. And I wanted to share that with the girls here today. It's obviously on my mind, my father. And I feel to come to Tennessee, I could talk about this and that. I want to describe a real person. A real person who was just here, who like knew who he was. He was Torah, learned and taught. Then like he like enjoyed the world. He would have been in Tennessee looking, he like liking the beautiful, it's so warm, it's nice. He liked the world. And he saw such a great place that Hashem, a big mountain, you ski it, you climb it. We hiked mountains. He liked the world. Just enjoyed Hashem's world. And I want to share that with everybody here because I think people think like Torah and Yiddishkeit is a rebellion on the world. It's not. It's the proper use of the world. It's interesting. Kabbalah Satorah is the mountain we received the Torah, Har Sinai. Does anybody know another name for Sinai? Har what? What's your name?
Ne'ima.
Very impressed. Har Chorev. Good Ne'ima. Ne'ima knew that it's called Chorev. What does Chorev mean? Destruction. Why is Har Sinai called the mountain of destruction? I want to say there was a destruction of sorts. So people think, because now Ruchni is Gashmi is destroyed. No. The destruction is before Kabbalah Satorah, the world was reality and everything else was a backdrop. Okay, we also have an Neshama. Kabbalah Satorah, which our people are headed to in less than 2 weeks, is Ruchnius, is the world. We're here, we're neshamas, each one of us, to be a beautiful light of Kiddush Shemayim, each one of us. And then, of course, a beautiful world that assists, that helps, that we can enjoy, that we can get close to Hashem, we can could be comfortable, a beautiful place. And the reason it's called a destruction of sorts is it changed the world order. Before, the world was like the Iker. Okay, Ruchnius, maybe there was a tzaddik. Torah taught us that the Iker is the service of Hashem, the light that each of us can bring. And of course, a beautiful world to enjoy. So there was a destruction of sorts, but there was a much bigger construction. What did the nations of the world say when we Mekabel the Torah? What did they ran to Bilam? They said, Hashem la mabel yashav. It's going to be a mabel. There's going to be another flood. And Bilam responded, nah, Hashem's just giving Torah. Hashem oiz la amayitin. Why did the world think there's going to be a destruction? Because there was. They were feeling a spiritual truth. Now, the destruction, I promise, is not a destruction of the world. It's actually a construction of the world. It's a construction. It actually says that the whole world was waiting for Kabbalah Satorah. It was waiting for Kabbalah Satorah, the whole world. And it was waiting because then the world took on bigger meaning. My father's tennis was the most important. I would watch on Fridays, my father for 35 years had a paddleball partner. The physical things were like so cool. They mattered. They were eternal. Because it was in its right place and he used it like in a beautiful way, the world. So the world matters eternally. Hashem's everywhere. And the world mattered and matters because it was used right. So it's a destruction if to of eyes who don't know about Ruchnius, you're destroying the world. Said Bilam, no, Hashem, he's giving Torah to his people. Don't worry. And then it says the words, and I never said this publicly, but the covenant of John, I'm going to say publicly. Bilam says, Hashem, oiz lamitin, Hashem yivarech es amoy bashalim. Hashem's giving peace. That's that. Normally people think there's a struggle. We have a body and a soul struggle. My father was peace. There was no struggle. Normal people struggled. My body wants physical. wants the world. My soul wants God. And they're like, what a terrible shidduch. It's like the worst partnership in the world. Like, crazy. I have like two parts. Torah creates shalom, peace. There's no struggle. The world's the backdrop to serving Hashem. Beautiful world, a good tennis game, a good friendship, good outing to a store, wonderful, a good barbecue, wonderful. When you have the ikkar, this peace, the shalom. That's what Bilam said. They saw destruction because the world minus ruchnius, that's gone. There was a marble of sorts. They said, the world's being destroyed. They felt the spiritual truth because the world as the ikkar was destroyed at Har Sinai. But then a new world that the whole world was really waiting for. Hashem Yivarech Esamei Bashalom. My father was a man of shalom, of peace. Crazy. Like, it's like the craziest thing, a soul that works here. Crazy. I wanted to share this with you because I think we're all capable of this. If we know who we are, neshama, precious soul, meant to bring everyone, me and you, just true. It's true. I'm speaking the truth. We're souls who have big lights to bring to this world, unique, that's unique to you and only you. And then we're in a beautiful world that's such a comfortable, nice, there's so much to use for the neshama to exist here that could be shalom. So let's be mekabel the Torah, let's know who we are, and then let's use the world right. If I could ask Shlomo Yud, if you can come up, I travel with two friends, I want them to play something nice. Music itself, to me, my father loved music, we are Levim, he loved music, and to me the balance of almost something that's sort of physical in this world, but it's out of this world, I like that. So I'm going to ask Yehuda and Shlomo to please come up. Is this the right type of chair? You know what song?
I'll wait for you.
Yeah.
Words mean kayol is a desert animal. Kayol tarig, that pines alafike mayim, like an ayol that sits by the water. Ayol is a desert animal, and its lips are parched. It's craving water. It's tarig alafike mayim. It pines by the water holes, hoping a little drip will come. It just like wet its tongue. Kenashi sarig elecha lekim. My soul craves for Hashem. Me and you, we have a neshama that all it wants is Hashem. Kenashi sarig elecha lekim. That's just the fact of who we are. And then, of course, we take care of our physical. Hashem put us in a beautiful world to enjoy, to be comfortable, to in order to express our souls that want Hashem and want to serve Hashem. So you couldn't have picked a better song. I thank Shlomo and Yehuda for picking that song. Thank you. Should we do one more? Is there time for one more song? John is in charge. John, is there time for one more song?
Yeah.
What's the schedule? Do we go overtime already?
No. Not overtime.
Okay.
Early.
Oh, early.
Time for lunch.
What kind of shot?
Wow.
What are we doing? Yeah.
Yehuda introduced the song that one of the Yidden who was killed on October 7th at Simchas Torah, a week before he died, he went around everywhere. He sang a song, and he was a kid who, by externals, people may have thought, like looked at a struggling Yid, but he was a Yid. He was a beautiful Yid. Struggling means a Yid was looking for Hashem, was running after Hashem, fighting in this world. And in his car, he sang Elikai Neshama Shnasati B'Tayrahi. Yehuda played it for the whole yeshiva, and it was like quarter. And again, the neshama that we have, Elikai Neshama Shnasati B'Tayrahi, the holy soul that we have. Yehuda taught it to the yeshiva, and we've been singing it since last Simchas Torah. So that's a great one, Yehuda. Thank you. Shlomo, if we can do that.
Shenasata bi Te'erahi Elaikai Nishama Shenasata bi Te'erahi Ata Verasa Ata Yitzata Be Beata Mishabra Bekibi Beata Sin with love me, many laughs it up in a silver. Cause my Shani Shama Bekibi, my dear, cause my Shani Shama Bekibi. Hashem Elokai Velokei Avosai Hashem Elokai Velokei Avosai Ribon Kol Amasim Adon Kol Anishamai Riboin Koramasi Adon Korani Shamas Hashem Elokai Velokei Avosai Hashem Elokai Velokei Avosai Shamay, Rivoy, Koramasi,
Yehuda made Uvene, was part of the people who composed it, and Shlomo was the first one who sang Tati My King many, many years ago. Which one should we do, John? What do the girls want? Which one?
Tati My King.
Tati My King. Boom, there you have it. appreciate and want to wish every single person here, we should get in touch with who we are. We're pure souls, and my bracha to us all is we should see ourselves as precious and pure souls and see other yin that way as well. See it in ourselves and see it in others. We're part of an incredible people. We're honored to be here with you, and we just consistently, wherever we've been, we see we're like, I've never in my life been prouder to be a yid, never. We're a good people, a really good people. We've come to Memphis, it's a wonderful town. I don't know if I'm allowed to invite to John's house. We want to sing more music with the cat. At 9:15, is that what it is?
Yeah, around there.
Okay, please come. We'll have singing. A guest can't invite a guest, but he's
been
and John has made me feel so at home. I don't feel like such a guest. So really appreciate. If anybody wants to ask a question, you owe me nothing. So to share a question, who said it? I don't have answers, so that could encourage you to ask. But I like good questions. So if anybody has a question, don't be afraid to ask. You're asking somebody without answers, so don't be afraid. But what's your name?
What?
I'm
Yonina Lichter.
What's the first name?
Yonina.
Nice to meet you, Yonina.
Yeah, you too. It was beautiful.
Thank
the singing
you.
And everything. You guys
thank
had
you.
Beautiful voices.
Thank you, Yonina.
What can I do in Israel? What can I accomplish in Israel?
Wow. Are you going there?
Not next year, but the year after that.
That's a great question.
Thank you. It's okay, you said you didn't have answers. So
I like it. I don't like, but I said, answers, whenever somebody asks a question, is a friction. I like friction. So we're like, going there, is it just like, what am I getting different there? I went to classes here, I go to classes there. What's the difference? I don't like just following crowds. To me, that's like a friction. What am I getting there? What am I getting there different than here? So that's the question itself is a strong question. When I say I don't have answers, answers are inside of all of us, our own answers. I don't look at like somebody has the answers. I can only tell you like my journey. So, but you're asking like, I'm in Tennessee, I like it here. Hey, look at the girls, we have such good friends. Why are we going there? And you could say, my friends are going there also, so why don't we all just stay here? So the question's like a strong question. I think any start, people come up with reasons why they go. This type of yeshiva, this type of seminary. The start has to be that our people have a deep connection to Eretz Yisrael. There's an English word, indigenous, that certain things are like born for the... We have a deep... Am Yisrael is a deep connection to Eretz Yisrael, a deep, a profound connection to our land. It does something to our people. We have, even when we're elsewhere, and we're thankful America's been is an amazing country. Memphis is awesome, and we appreciate it and gain. We still have a deep attachment. I have seen guys like inexplicably come alive there. It's like, weird, what just happened? Eretz Yisrael happened. A Yid and Eretz Yisrael have like an inexplicable connection. It's the land Hashem gave us. And to give any other reason, what I'll get there, to psychologically you're away from home, and there, we can come up with cool things. I think it's very dangerous not to start there, that there's something about Eretz Yisrael itself, the land Hashem gave us, the land that's ours, that Hashem said, this is your, you like belong to the land, land belongs to you. There's something that does to the yid. So I could give reasons away from home and we could come with cool stuff. With my own kids, I'll tell you, Nina, my kids go learn in Eretz Yisrael. I love my kids home. I have a married son and daughter-in-law in Eretz Yisrael. I want them home. I'm like the type, my wife says, don't tell them my daughter is 16. She passed the road test yesterday. Baruch Hashem, she would love being with you, girl. She would spend all day, all year with you. And she, when she goes away to camp, I'm like homesick. I just want her home. I says, don't tell her. She let her be. She loves camp. She's very social. I like my kids home. I like my kids. And my kids go to Eretz Yisrael, and they go learn there. I have a son learning in Eretz Yisrael now. I have a married son there. I have a single son learning there. I like him home. And I it's my minute. I drive my kids to the airport every time, and I pick them up. And when I bring my kid, it's hard to part. I like my son's home. And I ask myself, Yonina, so I can't answer your question, but I ask, why are we going there? And my kids like being home, too. My kids have the question, why am I going? And there's much in our journey that we thought of, but I think that has to be the starting point. There's something about Eretz Yisrael that the Yid connects to inexplicably. It's the land Hashem gave us. That's our land. That's home. There's something about it. I'll tell you a funny story. The Prime Minister of Israel, Begun, Menachem Begun, was a wonderful person. And he met Jimmy Carter, the President of the United States. They had a meeting, and Begun like let out a groan somehow, and President Carter's like, what's wrong? He said, I'm the Prime Minister, let's say, of 3 million people. And he like groaned, it's a hard job. So President Carter said, are you kidding me? You're like groaning, I have many, many more millions than your millions, what are you groaning about? That's what President Carter said to Begun. So Menachem Begun said, you don't understand. He said, you're president of how many Americans are there? 300 million? You're president of 300 million civilians. I'm prime minister of 3 million prime ministers. Every Yid thinks it's like their country because they're right. There's something about the country that a Yid, it was given to us by Hashem. And a Yid senses something, that I belong here. People really feel a sense of belonging. I have seen people, it's not just indoctrinated, like somebody's taught it. It's something like deep in the Yid, like a connection, Chaviva Sfer, it's Israel. So I think, Yonina, any answer has to start. Somehow Hashem gave us that, and like there a Yid could access something different than any other place. Now, I promise we could be close to Hashem everywhere on earth. And we can access Hashem anywhere. Somehow there's something in Eretz Yisrael that is Mo'ira, that arouses a Yid. He feels at home. She feels at home. So it has to start there, any answer. There are other things to speak about, independence, a person moving away from home and gaining. There are other things we can, but I think it has to start. My own like journey with that question is when I'm at the airport, I'm like, why are we doing this again? And I say goodbye, my son just left now. They know my son. It's not like, but it has to start with there. Some answer, I think, because that's the truth.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for asking. What a gutsy girl. Thank you. Thank you. Excellent. Okay. I want to thank everybody for being having an outstanding day. When were we supposed to go until we're John? Because we can go more. Okay. Thank you. So have a great day. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on many topics, or to hear an Eon shiur on any daf in Shas, including Maror Mekoymos on each shiur, please visit www.shasilluminated.org. To order CDs or for more information, please call 203-312-SHAS. That's 203-312-7427, or email info@shasilluminated.org.